Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the Power of Prayer Talk Show, where I'm your hostess for the next 20 minutes, Patricia Wills. I'm sorry for the delay. I just walked in the house and realized what time it was. I thank each and every one of you for tuning in so faithfully on today. And I ask that you will share and tag or tell somebody else about the show that comes on every Monday at 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time. And I also would like to encourage you to call in at soon as I get it up here at 319-527-6072. That's 319-527-6072. This is the guest call-in. If you have anything to share, any testimony, or if you would like to share what we have discussed, or if you have any questions, please dial that number, 319-527-6072, and we will be glad to answer any questions. Also, if you have a topic that you would like to discuss that we haven't discussed in the past, you can write me at faithisthekey47@gmail.com. That's faithisthekey47@gmail.com. I thank each and every one of you for tuning in so faithfully. Also, visit my website at www.patriciajwilliams.com. That's www.patriciajwilliams.com. And look at some inspirationals that I have logged on each and every day. And also, if you would like to purchase one of my books that I have written, I also encourage you to do that as well. So now, we're going to be talking about when God redefines the possible. And let's look at this word. What does it mean by redefine? God redefines the in the possible, not the impossible, but possible. We're going to define the definition of redefine. And I know you're wondering, how do God redefine the possible? We are going to talk about how that God, and with God, all things are possible. And redefine just basically means to re-examine, to re-evaluate the possible. Because we know God does everything but fail. Because what is impossible with man, it is also possible with God. So we're going to see how God redefined or re-examined what he's already said. But basically to make sense of what God already told us that we can have, or that what that which we already have. So we are going to also look at Romans. And I want you to get your word out, because we're going to look at Romans 3 and 27 and see what the word of God is saying right now. And I'm doing it in it's Romans 3 and 27. Hallelujah. God is great and greatly to be praised. Just give me a minute here. I'm trying to do 50 million things at one time. Trying to get everything squared away right here. Say, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Sometimes God will redefine our faith. We say we have faith until we actually come up with a situation or collide into something that we are unsure of, when we have to really trust God. So going back to this pandemic, we have to have faith enough to know that God will see us through. Even though we are uncertain about what things are going to happen day by day, We have to have the assurance that regardless of what we see in the natural, it's not necessary is how that it will happen in the spiritual realm. Because once that we are in the spiritual realm, we can hear God more clear. We can also walk the ways that he has put before us to walk. And he can also tell us to how to handle this or how to handle that. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we're going to look at the fact of redefining the possible. When God redefines the possible, because once we have the knowledge of knowing that God can do all things but fail, God has to get us back to the point to, hey, I was there the whole time. Hello, Pastor Leje. How are you doing?
I'm blessed, woman of God. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can't complain. We was just talking about how God redefines the possible, because we was just talking about some things through man is impossible, but with all things with God, it's possible. And there comes a time when our faith get weak, and we have to believe God for certain things. But then once that we are faced with the actual situation, we seem to feel like, well, God may not do it and God will do it. Basically, our trust fails, because we can talk it all day long, but we got to get to the point to where God can do what a man cannot do. And we was just talking about during this pandemic, there are a lot of things that we have to put our trust in. We have to wholeheartedly trust God for things, even trust God comes to financials and our shelter and our employment. We have to total trust God. So in that aspect, God not only re-examines our faith, but then we have to re-examine our faith in him as well. So we was talking about what does the word redefine mean, and it means to re-examine. Even though God can move through the impossible, God have to redefine the possible. He have to re-evaluate some of the things that God has to do for us, so that we can have our faith can be rooted and grounded, because some things we have to go through it again because we fail to believe God the first time. So God will have to take us through again. So what is your aspect on God redefining the possible?
Woman of God, sometimes God will stretch us and get us to a place where we are mm-hmm. totally dependent on him. And the reason why he gets us to be totally dependent on him is so that mm-hmm. he could stretch what man thought was impossible and give us what he knows is possible. One thing I live by and I stand on is our ways are God's ways and his ways aren't our ways.
Yeah.
That what I love yeah. about the stretching of God and what I love about what he does for the people is he knows how to tear us down, but he already has a plan to build us up. And that mm-hmm. you know, that goes in line with restoration. That goes mm-hmm. in line with reconstruction. But a lot of us, the reason why we doubt and we have an issue with God is because our trust level isn't where it exactly needs to be.
Yes. And for some people, it takes a while because, man of God, I always seen how people will say, for instance, we have been in church our whole life, and that's what we was taught, to actually trust God throughout what the things we go through. But we have programmed that in the minds of the people, or then we have it in our mind, no matter what, to always trust God. But then there comes a time when we have to actually go through something in order for us to really trust him. Because some of us, if that we go through something, we will find out that we don't have the trust that we say we have, because we've never been bombarded with something that hard or then a task that hard that we have to put ourselves in the position to trust God. So my question is, and then I've seen this so many times, when a leader or then a mentor has to get out the way of a person's ability to trust God, because they're so adamant or so accustomed to coming to them when things go wrong. My question is it beneficial for the person to step back when the person's faith is not where it should be, or should the person just be waiting there or just guiding them along the way?
Woman of God, one thing I will say for sure is that in cases like that, God will give you the wisdom mm-hmm. on how to deal with that. Leaders who know God's voice will actually mm-hmm. know when to depart from people and when to embrace them. I've seen situations where some people, mm-hmm. you walk away from them and their faith level is strong. And then I've seen other instances mm-hmm. where God called you to walk away, and those people's faith level never was strong. You know, so it all depends wow. on when God tells you to cut from some people, because some people, you got to watch it. They're not where they need to be. They don't want to be where they need to be. And they're relying on your faith. They're relying on your strength. And some of us, when God tells us to cut those people, regardless of them not being where they need to be, and most of the time it's because they're not wanted, they don't want it, we hold on to them, and we end up enabling them and sharing the blood that's on their hands. So it's very mm-hmm. important. You have to not, it cannot get in your emotions. You cannot get in yeah. your flesh when it comes down, even as leadership, how to deal with people. Because when God gives you authorization to stay, or he gives you authorization to move, regardless if you feel the house not built, you're going to have to move on.
And I often see some people have released people prematurely. That's not Ooh. Spiritually either. You like to expound
woman
on that?
God. Oh, yes, I would love to. I'm going to tell you this, woman of God. I see a lot of situations where I see preachers release mm-hmm. folk, and it's because they don't, you know, and it's sad, woman of God, because they mm-hmm. release these folks because they don't feel that they have any value, or they don't add value to their platform or to anything of that uh-huh. nature. So they let them go, and they go for someone higher because they, you know, they're a better giver, or, you know, they're better this or they're better that. But mm-hmm. my question to you is, if you still operate in the spirit of the living God, and if you still operate in humility, because that's what a lot of preachers done lost, and I don't care if you are an mm-hmm. apostle, I don't care if you're a prophet, I don't care what you are, no matter what your title is, at the end of the day, you're supposed to be humble, and you're supposed to be yes. a servant. When we lose our humility, woman of God, we release people prematurely, because we're looking to see what we can get out of them instead of what God sent them for to build in us.
And that is so true. And I've seen it happen. When a person releases somebody prematurely, they are lost. They are actually lost. They are just wandering. And some of them have went back into the world because of distrust. Basically,
yep.
This because they are expecting this person who's of God to care for them, to nurture them, and then they was like that. They like, okay, if this person here is doing me like this, I might as well just where I was in the world. So, man of God, wouldn't you say we have to be careful who we accept? Because I say this, We can't call everybody spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, because if God have not ordained them, because to me a spiritual mother is when they first seen you where you were, not where you at. It's a first where you began, and then they had nurtured you all the way up until God say release. But nowadays, these are people just coming in with these 50 million spiritual mothers and everything else and spiritual fathers. And we got to be careful who we call spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, because they are implanting in you and they are trusting you. The children are trusting you. And when you release them prematurely, you're doing more harm than helping them.
Yep.
Even when God have not even told you. I really don't know why we're going this way, but the Holy Ghost does. Even when God have not even told you to release them yet. And I've seen, man of God, it's so many wounded people in the body of Christ until where they done lost their trust in God completely because of what God ordained person or what the person per se to be of God have damaged them so much until they are in a place to where they don't even want to believe a God for anything. And then once they are released, or then once they have left, the first thing they are saying is, oh, God is not going to bless me anymore, because they felt like their blessings was connected to the person. And so, man of God, with all that being said, we have encountered some people like this, but how can you build their faith up to let them know their faith was not in the person? That faith was in God, God in that person. And regardless if that person releases you prematurely, you still got to get past that hurt and then serve God. So what can you tell some people? Because I know some people have also experienced that hurt, and that there is a deep-rooted hurt that only God can remove. So what kind of spiritual advice you can give that person?
Oh, man. Woman of God, what I will say is that I experienced that in the beginning stages of my ministry. I sat under a woman, okay, and very powerful woman of God, a little shady, but, you know, that's what you call the master. And at that particular time, woman of God, I'm going to tell you this, in that stage of my ministry, I loved her. When I mean I loved her, I honored her, you know, as my leader, as my mother in the ministry, and the whole nine yards. I got up one Sunday and I preached a sermon, and a group of people got upset inside of the church. And it just so happened that the group of people that got upset, woman of God, were all the lesbians. And what happened was, she pulled me in a meeting with the people and with herself, and told me where I was wrong and the whole nine yards, and the Bible don't say you can love whoever you want and you could do whatever you want to do. I said, okay. And then when the ladies left out, she said, I said, so you're really going to treat me that way? I said, you know, I've never disrespected you. I've never dishonored you. You know, I said, even when you act like you, even when, because sometimes your leaders sometimes can act like they are spiritual schizophrenic because they're being told so much. And woman of God, you know what she told me? She told me that it's more of an asset to keep them because they keep the lights on in the church and they take care of her. But I bring no value because I was just a college student.
Oh, wow.
And I come a dime a dozen. And she released me.
Okay. Wow.
Mama God, she did. And it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
When I mean it hurt so bad, I mean my inside. felt like somebody hit me with a car. And even as I speak about it now, I'm over it. And I've embraced her. But that woman let me go prematurely. Fast forwarding, woman of God, 16 years later, she seen me at a revival. And she pulled me in the office, that same preacher, and told me, I am so sorry the way I let you go because your work wasn't done. And the moment you left out of the ministry, it got so bad, I had to shut that ministry down, change the name, and open up somewhere else. Sometimes, woman of God, we do not know the people that we prematurely releasing is the very cornerstones we need to keep our ministry going. Not that they're trying
come
to
on
do
now.
Or not that they're trying to do anything, but everybody needs an undergirder. People have a few issues. People have those who we release prematurely, they have a few issues.
Yes.
But they don't look the way we need them to look. They don't feel the way we need them to look. They don't talk the way we need them to talk. But those people are the cornerstones that hold up what's called our ministry. And you must never prematurely lose folks. But if you do release them, those of you who feel released, don't feel bad. You're going to cry. You're going to hurt. But guess what?
God's
still going to do the pouring because my bottle was empty, woman of God, but he did the pouring.
Oh, yes, he did. Oh, my God, this was good. Ooh, this was good. And I know some people have been healed on today, especially of being released prematurely. You still have an assignment. Regardless if you are released prematurely, you still have an assignment, and you still have a purpose. Plus, most of all, you still have a destiny to fulfill. I thank God for you, Apostle AJ. This was a powerful segment on today. I know some people that I have invited on to really really hear God on this message here, because we still have some hurting people that is out there are teaching the gospel, and yet they are spewing out that hurt among other people, which is not good. So it's just time for us to get completely healed and completely set free. Apostle AJ, I thank you so much. Our time has been well spent. I thank you for your faithfulness, man of God. You have been right there by my side since day one.
Amen.
And I bless you and your family. And I thank everyone for tuning in on today. I bless you as well. And until we meet on Monday, everyone have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Thank you, Apostle.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you.